It's the Suncast Podcast, covering the Sun Conference and all its sports.
What's up, Suncast Nation? It's your boy Manny here, and I'm going to be riding solo today, Reagan. First things first, congratulations to my good buddy Reagan Harrell. He has officially graduated, officially on the other side. Want to give him his flowers. Talk a little bit more about that in a minute here. But first, doing things a little different here. Got an interview set up for you guys, and it's going to be someone who's new to the conference but has made a name for herself in the short time she's been here. Miss Anna Toon from the Bobcats, one of the best pitchers in the conference. Anna, thank you so much for stopping by and chatting it up with me yet again. I think our fourth interview already now.
Of course. Thank you for having me.
No, the pleasure's all mine, really. So, like I mentioned, this is your first time in the conference, first year part of one of the programs. And I just want to know, how did your journey end up with you here in Miami Gardens, here with playing for the Bobcats?
Yeah, for sure. I started off close to home at the University of Montana. I spent a year and a half there playing. And then I decided to transfer to the College of Central Florida, right up the road a couple hours in Ocala. I had some teammates from my travel ball days I had played with that were going there. And so I had that connection. And because I had spent a year at U of M, I only had 1 year of eligibility to play at the junior college level. So I knew I was going to have to transfer again. And as my season came to an end up there, you know, like I was trying to figure out where I was going to go or whatnot. And that's when JC reached out to me, and I had a couple phone calls with him, and he's very convincing. And so I decided ultimately to come to St. Thomas, and it's been so much fun. It was my best decision.
I mean, I speak for the entire Bobcat Nation. Sorry, Suncast fans. We thank you for choosing us. We really do. And so much fun seeing you and seeing the player. It's really the last weekend coming up here. I just want to know, has playing in the Sun Conference lived up to everything you thought it would be? Especially the year we've had where it's been nonstop action every single week?
Yeah, it's been great. This conference has been so competitive, you know, like seven teams in the conference? Okay. 1 through 7, you know, you've seen like the highs and lows, everybody playing everyone, like really competitive games. And it's just been so fun so far to prepare as much as we do every weekend to face a really competitive opponent, no matter if it's number one or number seven. It's been very competitive.
Absolutely. And we're going to talk about that matchup coming up this weekend for sure. Don't worry about that. But first, like I mentioned, you're one of the best pitchers in the conference. You right now, you have a 1.40 ERA. It's good for second in the conference, right behind one of the Southeastern's pitchers. I just want to know, what was your thought process? What was your mindset really in the offseason that's allowed you to have such an absolutely productive season? Some might argue a pitcher of the year type of season.
Yeah, that's a great question. You know, a lot of it comes from our pitching coach, Coach Erica. She pushes us harder than I would ever push myself, you know, and without her and without the other pitchers on our pitching staff, I really don't think I would have had as competitive of a season, just because they all work so hard and they push me every single day. And it's been so fun back there in that bullpen. Like, you'll see us out on the track, you know, like Coach Erica makes sure that we are conditioned. She makes sure that like our minds are right. And she is just like always pushing us to be better. And the other pitchers, we push each other as well. And it's been a lot of fun.
No, it really has been a lot of fun to watch you guys day in, day out, put in that work. And you're not the only STU pitcher, though, in the top five. Miss Melody Vizcaino is also in the top five at 1.91 ERA. I just want to know, what has her relationship been like with you and how she's helped you, because she is in her second year. Again, maybe you wouldn't be looked at as one of the veterans of the team, but compared to, again, this is your first year here, how has she kind of helped you in that transition to St. Thomas?
Absolutely. I really admire Mel. You know, sometimes I forget that she's only a sophomore, just because of her maturity on the field. And it's off the field that we know each other really well. And we have a really close friendship, and we spend a lot of days on the track, you know, just conditioning with each other. And then we talk a ton of softball together. You know, she pushes me, I push her, and like, just tons of respect all around for Mel's game, you know, and like she really is a dog. Like I've watched her come into some of these games where it's like a tight game, you know, sixth, seventh inning, and like she's completely unfazed because that's just who she is. And you just would never know. So yeah, I'm really, really proud of her. And then even more exciting is to just see her next year as an upperclassman.
Oh, for sure. I'm still coming up with a nickname for you too. It's going to be music themed for sure, but I don't know where it's going to be. But you talked a little bit about him, and I definitely want to harp on it a little bit more. Coach JC, he has, in the short time at the helm of the softball program at St. Thomas, has really turned it around. One of the best in the conference now. I think he's the front runner for Coach of the Year. He's made such a strong case. What was it? I know you talked about him being persuasive, but what exactly was it that allowed you or gave you the confidence to say, yes, I want to be a part of what this man is building in St. Thomas?
Absolutely. You know, when we talked, he just talked a lot about his visions for the program. And I knew that he had only been with the softball team for a few years. And any great thing, you know, takes time to build. And he just seemed extremely passionate. You know, he told me his plan, and that was just to bring some players in and work with what we have and just continue to build every year. And I think that's what we've done, you know. And last year's team, what they set the tone, and the team before that, you know, like there's been so many great things along the way. And like I said, he's very convincing. And so yeah, I knew that this is where I wanted to be and be a part of, just trying to help build the program.
All I know is a man with that haircut has the utmost confidence in the world. We love to see it. We absolutely love to see it.
Absolutely.
Another big part of your game is obviously the hitting aspect. I mean, you're top 10 in the conference right now, batting a .383. You lead St. Thomas in doubles with 16, in home runs with 5. You're right behind Bianca in RBIs with 31 to her 35. How would you summarize your season in the box up to this point? Was there any personal goals that you've already hit that you wanted to hit before the season that motivated you? Just kind of put a bow on the hitting aspects of your game this season so far.
For sure. I came from my junior college last year where I did not hit a lot. And my previous school, that's pretty much all I did. You know, I was the designated hitter, like right fielder. Very, very different role than what I have here at St. Thomas. And coming into this season after not really hitting for the past year, and not having a ton of success, like it was tough mentally. And it's been a roller coaster. Like, you know, there's weekends where you feel great and you're hitting the ball good. There's other weekends where you can't touch the ball, you can't find yourself on base or whatever. So my mentality was really just to kind of kind of get back into that rhythm that I felt I had a couple years ago and in high school, back when I did do a lot more hitting or whatnot. And a lot of it just came from the coaching staff really believing in me. You know, they worked with me a lot. They never wrote me off as, you know, being a hitter or whatever, and then just kept working. And like little by little, it's been really fun to be able to hit again and then just be able to contribute to the team like in a different aspect.
No, absolutely. It's been so much fun watching the music you've been playing in the box. It's so much fun. It's great tunes all around. But now we got to turn our attention to the historic season that you have helped be a part of at St. Thomas. I mean, the resume you guys have built longer than Chick-fil-A line. We're talking about first back-to-back 30-win season in program history, second highest rank in the top 25 at 19, just shy of the record at 18. And most importantly, you have all set up the opportunity for the first regular season championship since 2011, which we're definitely going to get into. But out of those three things I just mentioned, which are you most proud of personally to be a part of when we're talking about St. Thomas softball history?
Oof, that is a tough one. I'm not sure I have an answer for you. I do know, however, just the vibe with this team and our mindset right now, and just trying to put ourselves in the best position possible to be competitive. And of course, we know what's sitting in front of us this weekend. And I mean, really, we're just high spirits, and we just talk about having high energy and whatnot. Everyone is very proud of this season, and we do feel like we have accomplished some really good things. And there's a lot of good stuff, but we also know that there's more down the road that we're working for. So we try not to think too much about the other stuff. You know, a lot of our focus is just on these next, well, really our focus is on this next game and just taking it inning by inning. The locker room lights just shut off.
There it is. We're back. This is what happens. But speaking of that regular season title that we're going to be fighting for this weekend, I said it before, I'm going to say it again. The script writers, when it comes to softball in the Sun Conference, Hollywood should hire them. Talking about absolute cinema this weekend all over the place, not just down here in Miami Gardens, but that's obviously what's going to be the highlight of it. You mentioned a little bit, but really deep dive into just what the vibe has been like in practice, in the locker room, just chatting it up with your teammates about what is in front of you guys for this weekend against the Coastal Georgia Mariners.
For sure. Everyone knows, you know, that we're playing a very competitive team this weekend. And we've obviously tried our best to put ourselves in the best position possible to try to clinch the conference championship or whatnot. But at the end of the day, you know, you just got to go out and play the games and we'll see what happens. And the vibe has just been very high spirited. Of course, we're in the middle of finals week right now. And every school in the country is. It's late in the season, obviously. You know, you got everyone's talking about whatever, you know, like tired, no sleep, but that's just like the essence of college softball, and that's how it is, you know. And so everyone is like, could not be more excited for the series, and it just makes me even more excited to hear the team's vibe surrounding it.
Absolutely. And before we keep going, I'm curious, because every athlete obviously in their sport is different. I'm a basketball guy, so the way I see the school year is a little different. How is it for being a softball player and having to deal with finals? I know most of you guys have to take your finals early because of the conference tournament and all that stuff. So give the people at home a little behind the scenes of what it's like having to deal and juggle being a student athlete this late into the season, into the semester pretty much.
Yeah, you know, it does get difficult. I feel very fortunate. I'm a sports administration major, so I don't have it nearly as bad as my nursing teammates. Like, I feel for them, you know, I know they're going through it. And it's just like what comes with college sports, you know, it's just all about like balancing it and trying to get enough sleep to be ready to go and whatnot. It's really hasn't been too difficult up until this past week, just because the finals have been lining up back to back to back and whatnot. But really we should kind of be on the other side of that going into next week. And then of course school will be over and then we'll have the conference tournament.
No, absolutely. And now I'm just curious about you personally, being a player and understanding what's in front of you. How does that, what is the feeling like of understanding though, tomorrow is the day, tomorrow we get things going at that first game of the 3-game series, just being a player in a chance to win a regular season championship that some people never even get close to in their 4-year career in college. Just talk a little bit about that from the player's perspective.
Yeah, for sure. I think mentally you're trying to find that middle ground of not trying to get too worked up on kind of like the hype of the series. You're not trying to think ahead about really just winning or just winning the conference, nothing like that. You know, it's just, I've very much been trying to focus on one pitch at a time, one inning at a time, one game at a time. Coach JC, he does a really good job of keeping us grounded and just reminding us when the inning, when the game, when the inning, when the game. And so that's kind of been our mindset, you know, and I've really lately just had to think about that more. Just as this season is kind of nearing the end, you know, I think, wow, this is my junior season. After this, I have my senior season. And then you start to kind of get those feels of like realizing that, obviously, you're not going to play college softball forever. So it does hit a little more close to home, just thinking about, you know, taking it pitch by pitch and trying to really just soak in all of the good moments with your teammates at the end of the day.
No, absolutely. And you've definitely been trained by Coach JC, right? And I know he's going to be really upset when I ask this, but I got to do my job. I know he doesn't want to look too far ahead. I know we're not trying to look past this weekend, but in a week's time, it will be postseason action. Obviously, you guys have already clinched a spot in the postseason. How ready do you and the team feel after having gone through an absolute gauntlet of a conference slate this year from Southeastern, Kaiser. Obviously, you guys just had a great one against Weber. Like, everybody has been giving you guys your best shot. So how confident do you feel the team is when we go into postseason time and it's a one-game situation where literally in the conference, anybody can beat anybody on any given day?
Exactly. The conference is very competitive, but we do feel very prepared. We feel very confident. A lot of these games are going to be close games, you know, and my dad used to always tell me when it gets into postseason play, a lot of it is who wants to keep playing and who has the most heart and just who's the most prepared. And I think there's a lot of truth to that, you know, and the team, when we talk, you know, like off the field, all of the energy is that we want to be here as long as possible, you know, and we're really just, like I said, taking it pitch by pitch. We know what's on the horizon. Like, we know what we're looking forward to and all. We feel prepared. And at the end of the day, you go out there and you hope to play your best ball at the right time. You hope to have a little bit of luck on your side, and then you just try and get everybody on board and push through, you know?
Absolutely, absolutely not. I'll be honest though. How excited are you for Sun Conference postseason?
Oh, I'm thrilled. I'm very, very excited, especially for school to be over.
Oh, and absolutely.
Put 100% of my focus on the softball.
No, yeah, for sure, for sure. Last thing here, but both before I let you go, again, appreciate you for the late night interview here. I like to end a lot of my interviews a little fill in the blank. I give you a sentence, fill it in with a word or words. You explain why you chose that, and then that's it. Simple as that. All right. Okay. So, Ms. Anna Toon, your fill in the blank it's pretty simple. The St. Thomas Bobcats win the 2024 regular season championship if blank.
Oof. Can you repeat that?
The St. Thomas Bobcats win the 2024 regular season championship if blank.
If we execute our game plan. Yeah, that's like JC says all the time, you know, trust the process, go out there, execute, have tons of energy, you know, root for each other, and just all you can really do is give it your best shot at the end of the day.
No, for sure. Now, obviously, it is going to be home, so I'm sure you're going to have a lot of STU faithful in the Colonel getting ready to root you guys on. Anna, thank you so much for the time. Thank you so much for just giving us some great shows this past season. And we look forward to absolutely a great series this weekend and an absolute great postseason run.
No, absolutely. Thank you so much, Manny. I appreciate it.
And that was my interview with Miss Anna Toon. Absolutely great job by her, an absolute natural. But now we're going to talk a little bit about not just softball action this weekend, but the entire Sun Conference. As if you're not already in postseason time, you're getting there. And if you're already into it, you might even be getting to national tournament time for some of our teams here in the conference. So again, I'm Ryan Solo right now and I'm going to give him his flowers for the next couple minutes here. Congratulations to you, Reagan. You definitely have earned everything that you have gotten this 2 years you've been here in the Sun Conference. You've created a platform for all its athletes. You created a platform for the coaches, for friends, families to be able to follow their kids, their childhood friends, and just grow it. And I'm so lucky, so blessed that you allowed me to join this now 2 years ago and help you grow it as much as I can. I thank you. I thank you for your opportunity. And I'll meet you on the other side in about 2 weeks now. I'll meet you on the other side of that with that diploma. But until then, definitely enjoy your time, bro. You've earned it. And I know I speak for the entire Suncast Nation. I speak for everybody at NEISB. I speak for everybody when I say we thank you. And we really, really do appreciate everything you have done for us, and especially for the athletes and giving us all a platform. With that said, after giving the GOAT his flowers, we are going to talk now a little bit about the Sun Conference scene coming into this weekend. First, we're going to start with women's lacrosse as this national tournament time. First thing, though, I want to congratulate the postseason award winners as well as the tournament champions. We start with the Offensive Player of the Year, Clark Haz from SCAD. Congratulations to her, along with her coach, Melody Shotwell, winning Coach of the Year. SCAD getting two of the postseason awards. The Champion of Character goes to Abigail Saylor from Ave Maria. Well, well deserved, spoken highly of by her coach. And then the Defensive Player of the Year, Lena Winden from Life. Congratulations to her. Congratulations to all the postseason award winners. Again, Coach of the Year, Melody Shotwell from SCAD. Champion of Character, Abigail Saylor from Ave Maria. Defensive Player of the Year, Lena Winden from Life, and then Offensive Player of the Year, Clark Haz from SCAD. Congratulations again to all those winners. And congratulations goes out to the Bees, sweeping the conference regular season championship and the postseason title, sweeping the entire conference with a perfect 8-0 record in the toughest conference when it comes to women's lacrosse, for sure. Congratulations to the Bees going back-to-back conference tournament champions. With that said, we're moving now to national tournament side. SCAD obviously gets the automatic bid, and they've earned the fourth seed in the national tournament. Kaiser gets an at-large bid, one of two teams to do so, and they will earn the seventh seed. Kaiser does already have a red banner trying to add one to their total to see if they can make a run here, a little Cinderella-esque-type run. The tournament will start next week, May 1st. That's a Wednesday. SCAD will play number 5, Indiana Tech, on Wednesday at 12 p.m. That is Eastern time. Kaiser will play number 2, Cumberland's from Kentucky, on Wednesday as well. That is at 6 p.m., again, Eastern time. So again, SCAD will play at 12 Eastern time next Wednesday, and Kaiser will play Cumberland's next Wednesday at 6 p.m. Eastern time. That is May 1st. Best of luck to both the SCAD Bees and the Kaiser Seahawks as they look for the quest when it comes to the Red Banner. Quick reminder, speaking of Red Banners, the National Invitational for Beach Volleyball, Weber, Ave Maria, that will be starting this weekend. Keep an eye out for that. Keep an eye out for the Weber Athletics, for Ave Maria Athletics trying to post up. We'll try and as well do it on Suncast as best as we can. Best of luck to the 5th seed Weber Warriors and the 8th seed Ave Maria Gyrenes. Moving on now to flag football. Postseason weekend is here. Regular season champs Kaiser as they beat the Warner Royals 26-12 to finish the season 8-0. Second title in program history when it comes to the regular season department for the Seahawks. Special congratulations for them. As of right now, what I see the playoff standings going into the tournament. Again, the official bracket has not been released yet by the conference. Probably released tomorrow morning, Thursday. My best guess at the earliest, if not obviously Friday. Kaiser at the 1 seed, again, regular season champs, 8-0. Warner, 7-1. Thomas at 6-2. That is the 3rd seed. 4th seed goes to the Bobcats at 5-3. And then Weber gets the final spot from what I believe at 4-4. That is what I believe is the playoff seedings. I don't know if it extends any more. I have not gotten confirmation on that. We will know. If it does extend a little bit more, I believe Ryan Hart will be the one who gets in, as even though they have a 2-6 record tie with Life, they have a better overall record at 4-9. So best of luck to all the postseason teams. Best of luck in this weekend and trying to capture a conference tournament championship in what has been, I think, the best flag football conference this year. We move on now to the big ones when it comes to this weekend in baseball and softball. We'll save softball for last because that's the one that's getting real, real dicey, real interesting. For baseball, quick weekend recap. Southeastern sweeps the St. Thomas Bobcats. They clinched their 5th regular season title in program history. Congratulations to the Fire. Never in doubt, one of the best runs I've seen in conference history, honestly. Kaiser beat Ave Maria 3-1. Weber beat Warner 3-1 as well. Biggest surprise, no real big surprise. I think everything kind of went chalk this past weekend. Nothing too crazy. This weekend, though, things are getting a little dicey here. We have Florida Memorial at St. Thomas. We have Weber at Ave Maria. And we have Southeastern at Kaiser. The race for the final 4 spots is on. That's the biggest thing. We know who the top 2 are. It's going to be Southeastern. It's going to be Weber. Those teams cannot be touched. However, St. Thomas, Kaiser, Warner, Ave, and Florida Memorial are all fighting for their playoff lives this weekend. My money is on the Bobcats, not because I'm a Bobcat guy. I just think they have the safest bet going into the weekend because they have an 8-game lead over the 6th seed Florida Memorial Lions, who right now hold the final playoff spot. Ave, I think they're going to be the odd one out right now because they are the 7th seed and they are technically tied in record, even though they're technically tied in record with the Lions right now at 5-15. They're the odd ones out right now, that the only team that would miss the playoffs, as right now we only have 7 teams in the conference when it comes to baseball. Kaiser, I think, is the most dangerous spot because they have the toughest opponent of the weekend, hands down. They have the Southeastern Fire. Kaiser right now is in the middle, tied with Warner for the 4th seed at 8-12. They will be big Ave Maria fans, as well as hope the Bobcats and Florida Memorial Lions kind of split. I don't know if that's going to happen, but I think that the Kaiser Seahawks are the ones that are in the most dangerous spot to lose their playoff situation. The way I have my picks going this weekend, I do have the Bobcats winning against the Lions 3-1 this senior night. I think they use that momentum to really help them. I think Warner and Ave actually split 2-2, and I have the Fire sweeping the Seahawks. If that happens, if I hit on every single one, which I probably won't even hit on one, but if I do, the playoff seedings would be this situation right here. Fire again, 23-1, one of the best runs I've ever seen the conference in my time here, in my 4 years here. They will go into it as the number one seed. Weber, 18-6, really, really good start. I think they are a very, very good team, a dark horse when it comes to that Red Banner World Series hunt. Keep an eye out for the boys in green. Bobcats finished the conference at a 500 record at 12-12 in the third seed. Rough start for the Bobcats season, but you finished third seed in the best conference in baseball. Not too bad considering how the start looked. Warner, 10-14, they'll get the fourth seed. I think Kaiser gets the fifth seed. Ave Maria gets the sixth seed. And the Fuller Memorial Lions miss out on the playoffs by pretty much a game difference when it comes to that final spot. Again, that's my predictions. Take it if you want it. I understand if you're going to disagree, you might be screaming at the video right now or at the podcast. Again, it's going to video. Subscribe to the YouTube if you're on the podcast right now. If you're on the audio listener, go ahead and go hit that subscribe button, trying to get that number up. But that's my picks when it comes to baseball. Overall, best of luck to those teams that are going to make the postseason. We will obviously cover it as best as we can. I believe they have moved the postseason location. Last year it was going to be at Kaiser at the West Palm Beach Fields, I believe it was called, or something along those lines. Now I believe it's going to be in Fort Myers. I will obviously get that confirmed as the conference tournament nears closer, but that is right around the corner, so definitely be on the lookout for that. Now we move on to what I think has been the best ending in the spring sports department, and that's saying a lot because we've had so much good stuff. We've had beach volleyball where the Weber Warriors give it the three-peat in the conference championship department. We've got the SCAD versus Life matchup in the lacrosse scene. Baseball, even though we know the Southeastern Fire are going to do it, we've seen that middle hunt for the final playoff spot to be airtight. Flag football, we had Kaiser Warner going down to the last possible game. It's been all over the place. So, of course, you knew the softball was going to be the same thing. Biggest matchup of the weekend, biggest matchup of the year, in my opinion, goes to St. Thomas versus Coastal. Officially the series of the season. I'm putting my money on it right now. It will start tomorrow, 4 and 6, doubleheader at St. Thomas. We'll be on the SGU Sports Network. Had to put the plug in there. Go ahead, go tune in. It's going to be so much fun. And then the final game will be on Friday at 12. The script writers right now for softball, they're going to be feeding families for generations to come because this ending is just so much fun. Quick weekend recap like we always do. Bobcats actually lose to the Weber Warriors. Shout out to Weber. You know, it sucks that Reagan wasn't able to be on to really shine a light. He sent me a text message after the game was done. I said, You got us. You got us fair and square. We took the first one 5-0. They turned around, took the next two. I chalk it up, honestly, senior night. I think that really, really helped the Warriors. Bobcats had probably their worst swinging of the bats of the season, I think is a fair thing to say. It happens. It's their first series loss, but it's definitely not at the time you would want it to, but it's going to happen. You definitely would rather it happen the weekend before Coastal as opposed to the weekend of Coastal, so understandably so. Speaking of the Coastal Georgia Mariners, they were Weber fans as well as their own fans. They were able to set up this regular season championship by beating the Fire 2-1 after the Fire took game number one. Were able to walk off in the second game and force a winner-take-all rubber match in which the Coastal Georgia Mariners handled the Fire 9-4. Then we look at the situation with the rest of the conference. It was pretty much chalk for the most part. Kaiser beat Warner. Ave beat Florida Memorial. That was a big one for sure. We have a three-way tie right now through fifth and seventh. While Weber is technically still alive, they have two games back of the final spot. They're at 5-13. They're technically still hopeful, but they're going to obviously need some things to fall their way. We're going to focus right now on the big matchup, St. Thomas, Coastal. St. Thomas right now, I think it comes down to really the offense for me. I'm looking at a team that's fifth right now in batting average. They're fifth in RBIs. They're second in ERA. They have the pitching, but my thing is always going to be the batting. You know, they have five players above 300, two above 400. I believe now it's gone down to one, but I believe Bianca Palacio is right there on the cusp of it, like at a 398, something along those lines. Where I think they can be the X factor is the extra base hits. They lead the conference right now at 94. The next highest is 80. They lead the conference in doubles, in home runs, in second and triples. They have the opportunity to capitalize on those extra base hits, even though they might not get you with a death by a thousand cuts type of thing with a lot of singles, a lot of ground balls, situations like that. They will make you pay if you give them a crack or a sliver of confidence. I've seen it in my own two eyes, and that's gonna be the biggest thing for me, I think, this weekend. When it comes to RBIs, I think the number is a little misleading. It's a lot more closer than the stats may indicate, but I still think that's big because I've seen the Bobcats, even though they can really bring in those runs, I've seen them have games where they leave 9 on, 10 on. So they need to capitalize on runners getting on and bringing them all the way back home. When we look at Coastal, biggest thing for me when it comes to the batting, again, the batting average, they're second right now in the conference. They're second in the RBIs. I think the pitching is where the situation will come down a little bit because Coastal's offense has just been really, really stellar. And obviously, they're coming off of a big win against the Fire. I think you give the momentum right now, the edge to Coastal, because you beat the Fire at home. And then, obviously, the Bobcats are coming off of that loss to the Weber Warriors. It's pretty safe to say that the Bobcats right now are the underdogs just because of the fact of what happened the weekend prior to this matchup. Few things that I do keep an eye on is going to be that pitching situation. I think we're gonna have some of the best pitching in the conference all year. We have Anna Toon. We just had a great interview with her. Melody Vizcaino is gonna have something to say about it. You know, a second year player now who's putting up numbers, another top five player when it comes to ERA in the conference. Obviously, Bryce Peacock is Bryce Peacock. You guys heard the interview we had with her last weekend. She had a great weekend against the Fire, big when they needed them the most. When it comes down to it, though, I think I give the nod to the Bobcats when it comes to pitching, just because they have two of the top five in the conference. Like, it's really hard to go against that. You know, they've allowed the lowest number of runs and earned runs. They're second in strikeouts. They're third in the fielding percentage, which I think is a very underrated factor here. I think the Bobcats are going to be able to pull this one out. It's going to be a dogfight. Similar to what I said against the Kaiser Seahawks, I said whoever wins game number one will win the series. And now people might be thinking that's a cop-out. I apologize, but I just don't know how else I can slice it. We've got a team in the Bobcats right now, ranked number 19 in the nation. The young kids on the block, some would even say. You know, a lot of new faces, but a lot of faces who have made a name for themselves in their short time, mixed in with some of the returners from last year's squad that really burst onto the scene in the Sun Conference. So I think it comes down to whoever wins that first game. That game at 4 o'clock will win the series. If it's Coastal, my pick is Coastal. If it's at the same time as Bobcats, my pick is the Bobcats. Why? Simple as this. I think it's so much harder to beat Coastal or St. Thomas in back-to-back games than it is to beat them in one out of two. The Bobcats get that first game, I give them a better chance of winning one more as opposed to the Coastal Georgia Mariners getting two in a row. That's just how I think these two teams are built. They're just too strong independently. They're too strong individually for me to have a situation where I think if Coastal loses the first game, that they can beat two off the Bobcats and vice versa. A few players from the Bobcats that I think are going to really have be big for them, because we know who the Coastal Georgia Mariners are going to have. They've been one of the best teams in the conference, best teams in the nation, ranked number 22 right now. They have made a name for themselves. They are the target. The saying is, you want to be them, you want to be the woman, beat the woman. And that is right now what the Coastal Georgia Mariners are. They are the top dogs in the conference, rightfully so. They're looking to do something. While we mentioned, talk a little bit with Anna about the Bobcats trying to do something they haven't done since 2011, the Coastal Georgia Mariners are trying to do something they've never done at all. And that's go back to back in the regular season tournament department. In the regular season championship department, I should say. So the Coastal Georgia Mariners have a lot to fight for. They have a lot to really show that we are still the measuring stick. We are still the bar. You want to win in the Sun, you got to come through Georgia. You got to come through Brunswick. So it's going to be a very, very good showing. I do think the Bobcats get that extra boost from the home crowd. I do think the outfield is going to be something that they need to keep an eye on, in the sense of, keep an eye on is the wrong word. I think the outfield will have an X factor here, because I think they're the best outfield in trio in the conference. When you talk about Caitlin Martinez in left field, Natalie Kopisova in center field, and Maya Achenbach in right field, they've done a tremendous job at covering the entire outfield for the Bobcats, and I think they're going to be tested this weekend for sure. They're going to be tested, and I'm so excited to see what is going to happen when they finally play against this Coastal Georgia Mariners team that's just absolutely on a different planet, it feels like, at times. Looking around the conference, though, it's not just this Coastal Georgia Mariner team that in St. Thomas Bobcat matchup that we have to keep an eye on, because there are playoff implications everywhere when we look around the conference. First thing I have to mention, Florida Memorial at Weber. It's pretty simple. Winner gets into the postseason. Florida Memorial has a chance to get into the postseason. They right now hold that edge. The Weber Warriors, they win, they will be in the postseason, if my math is correct. Now, I'm not a math major. I'm pretty safe in saying, Reagan, if you can hear me, Your Warriors have a chance. All they got to do is win two out of three. All they got to do is win two out of three. On the flip side, Ave at Warner. Loser is out of the postseason. So they're both in. They're both in right now. Ave Maria at Warner. But the loser will be out of the postseason. As a matter of fact, I believe that series already started as I'm recording this right now. So I'm going to take a look at the live stats of that game. Meanwhile, while that loads, the other playoff situation that we have is going to be the Kaiser Seahawks at the Southeastern Fire. It's important because of seeding. That's why it's important. They are both in. They're going to be into the postseason there. There's no way that either that both or either teams fall out. But there is importance when it comes to seeding. Excuse me, the Gyrenes and Warner Warriors play tomorrow. They do not play tonight, Wednesday. They play Thursday. So that series has not started yet. I wanted to try and get this out before the series and everything started up. Now that most of these series are starting on Thursday, wanted to make sure to get everything out in time. But yeah, talking about that Kaiser and Southeastern matchup, the third seed finished on the second seed side of the bracket, while the fourth seed finished on the first side. I think that comes down to two things. Understanding that you have a chance to put yourself in the best position. And you also are going to keep an eye on that STU Coastal series, because the winner and loser of that could be on the team that you face in that next round of the conference tournament. I think Kaiser Southeastern is going to be an underrated series, because even though both teams are in it, again, seeding is in the matter here. And I'm sure these two teams want to finish with the highest seed possible to give themselves the best chance possible. Final weekend predictions for me. Again, playoffs are on the line. So I don't see a single sweep happening this weekend. I don't see a single sweep. I think every situation will at least have a win for both teams in that matchup. Before that, though, I do want to give a little bit of award predictions. Looking at it, I think pitcher of the year, I'm going to give it to Miss Toon, not just because she just was on the podcast. I think she's had the best pitching of the entire season. I do think Erica Playa from Southeastern has definitely an argument to be made. Number one ERA right now as I'm recording this. So I definitely think she has a case for sure. I think player of the year might go with Bryce Peacock. Go back to back with that one. I'm really, really excited for that. And coach of the year, Coach JC. I think those three are the ones that are the easiest for me to pick right now. I think Coach JC winning coach of the year is the best pick out of any of the postseason awards. Just because it's right there in front of you. You know, a team that's been steadily improving. They break through that glass ceiling, top 20 in the nation. They're fighting for the conference regular season championship. They're going to be some people's pick to win the tournament when that time comes. So I'm very, very glad that the Bobcats obviously are gaining success. And I think Coach JC is going to get his flowers, which he rightfully earns in only 4 years at the helm. But back to the predictions. We'll start from the bottom up. Warner, I think, will be Ave Maria. I think Ave Maria, as a result, will be out of the postseason. Tough season for them. They were able to fight their way through. You know, didn't start off the best at the beginning of the conference slate, but were able to turn it around. You lose your first eight, but then you win your next four. You give yourself some breathing room here. But I think the Warner Royals are going to be able to do it. They're going to ride the hand of Miss Madeline Morton. I think they're going to be able to get two off of the Ave Maria Gyrenes, especially because it is senior night. I just kind of give the lot to them. Weber beats Florida Memorial. I think they do it, Reagan. I think that the Weber Warriors are going to be able to do it, protect home field, and get two off the lines. I will say, I think this series specifically goes one Weber, one Flomo, and that final one will go to the Warriors. Southeastern, I'm going to give you the win here against Kaiser Seahawks, 2-1. I think the Southeastern Fire just have a little bit more depth. I think they just have been doing things a little bit better. I think they are going to come in a little bit more hungry than the Kaiser Seahawks because of the Fire feeling like they let one slip through their hands, especially in that second game against Coastal. So I think the Fire bounce back. They get two. Kaiser is going to end up getting one. Now the main one here. I know I said that I'm going with whoever wins that first game of this Bobcat Mariners series. With that said, I believe the one who will win the first game are the Bobcats. I think that first game will be Bobcats. I think it's going to be a close one. I wouldn't be surprised by extra innings. I wouldn't be surprised if we go 10 innings. I really don't. I'm prepared for everything. I'm prepared to be there until midnight if it has to come to that. But I do end up thinking the Bobcats take that first game. Again, if Coastal does, I'm going with Coastal. But I think the Bobcats take the first one, Coastal takes the second one, and we have an absolute thriller to end that series on the final game. Whatever your cup of tea is this weekend, baseball, softball, flag football, lacrosse, beach volleyball, whatever it is, tune in. Tune in to something this weekend. You're not going to be upset. They were able to laying out the schedule pretty good. You know, it's normally softball series start on the weekend. Now we're up to Thursday. So you're gonna be able to catch some baseball, you're gonna be able to catch some flag football, you're gonna be able to catch some lacrosse. So don't be scared of jumping around the conference, getting really getting into it and really enjoying what the programs around the conference have really produced, and especially because pretty much I don't think people noticed it. It's been pretty much women's sports dominating the spring. It's aside from baseball, softball, women's lacrosse, flag football, beach volleyball, like it's all been women's sports, and it has been an absolute thriller. It has been absolute cinema to watch, and I'm so excited to continue to watch it heading into this weekend. Best of luck to everybody. Finals week, like Miss Anna said, it is finals week, so best of luck to you guys. Class of 2024, we're almost done. If not already done, we're almost getting there. But that's gonna do it for me here, guys. Again, go subscribe to the Instagram, go subscribe to the Twitter, go subscribe to the YouTube. Give us 5 stars here on the podcast. Leave a comment. We want to hear from you guys. We want you guys to be involved here for sure. But until the next one, till next week, see you on the other side.